We started this month, April 2025, with a sense of optimism. Optimism not just from our reading of the sector, but some of the indicators like the AgBiz IDC Agribusiness Confidence Index, which is a sentiment indicator in South Africa's agriculture and agribusiness. It shot up by 11 points from the end of 2024 into the first quarter of this year, and at a super high level of about 70 points, which is the highest level we last saw in the last quarter of 2021. So in a space like that, many people were asking what is going on, what is driving this optimism, and it's certainly the better production conditions in a range of commodities. Those that are in field crops, they've benefited immensely from the favorable rains across South Africa. And certainly those that are in fruits and vegetables, they started this year with a bit of optimism, thinking that the output, even in those commodities, will be better. In the livestock, we were all looking into this idea that we are regaining the export markets, which I think certainly still is the theme, that we are regaining certain export markets. But there are some headwinds that are coming up here and there. In the livestock industry, in the province of KZN, we keep seeing reports of certain outbreaks of a foot and mouth disease. But what is important now is that this is still contained in KZN, and in a few parts of the Eastern Cape, the rest of South Africa is fine, which means then that the production and the red meat export from the rest of South Africa could continue in certain countries. So certainly that's something that I think we need to put an eye on. And of course, there are great organizations that look at these things and interacting with the government, like the Red Meat Industry Service, RMIS. They work with the government and other stakeholders, the Animal Health Forum and the others, to ensure that we get a handle of these animal diseases. But that's something that we are looking and we are seeing it as a bit of a risk that is in our radar at this point when we are observing those things. But I think the start of this month, though, the sentiment has somewhat, at least in recent days, changed a little bit because of those tariffs that were announced by the U.S. president on Liberation Day. These were tariffs that were not singling out South Africa. It's tariffs against a whole range of countries. And South Africa was certainly not spared of those tariffs. And we are amongst the countries that got relatively higher tariff placed or levied against us. They will certainly range between 10% and 31%. Now, 10% is a baseline tariff that the U.S. places against all of their trading partners that are exporting products to the U.S. And I think then there will likely be a bit of a difference product by product going up to 31%. It's not clear at this moment that all of the products will be at 31%. We certainly know that those that are in auto and the others will be around about 20-25% tariffs that will be levied against them. And there are some products that are exempted, specifically those that are in certain important minerals that the U.S. deems important. Those, they will be exempted from those higher tariffs that we see placed against South Africa. In the region of South Africa, though, Southern Africa, though, there are a number of countries. Lesotho got 50%, Botswana slightly higher than South Africa, and many others. In our reading, what this basically means then, that the trade that we have been enjoying, or duty-free access we have been enjoying for some of the product, not everything that we do with the U.S., there are some of the product that were traded under the African Growth Opportunity Act, which is AGOA. And we managed to enjoy the duty-free access to the U.S. for a range of products there. I think in my reading now, that time is probably over. The AGOA is pretty much nullified by these tariffs that we see being placed against South Africa and a range of the Southern Africa countries. The countries that perhaps maybe were levied lower tariffs, if you look at their relationship with the U.S., it's either the countries that have a free trade agreement with the U.S., or they deem them as of strategic importance, or they have a strong alignment on the geopolitics. And you can see this when you're thinking about some of the countries like the UK, even in Africa, Kenya, who is starting to negotiate a free trade agreement with the US. They got slightly lower tariffs levied against them relative to what we see in South Africa. I think they are around about 10% and the others. And of course, those that have a smaller trade deficit, the U.S. has a smaller trade deficit against them. They also have a reasonably lower tariff rates. How the U.S. arrived at these rates that they are in, I mean, it's a crude formula. Many people have been talking about, but they just considered the deficit in a trade deficit, and then they went, they worked with that. So they, in our view, we still think there's no sound economic thinking that is behind some of these tariffs. But this is the reality that we are dealing with and we are faced with. Now, in agriculture, what does all of this mean? I mean, I think from the start, the key point to put forward is that they come at a very bad time for some of the commodities. Firstly, the U.S. is important in South African agriculture. It accounts for about 4% of our total agricultural exports of $13.7 billion. Those are the exports as of 2024. And now you may think that it is small, 4%. We have 96% to the rest of the world. But you have to consider the fact that there are few commodities that are concentrated on that. It's the citrus industry, it's the grapes, wine, fruit juices. Those are some that are concentrated within that 4%. And in monetary terms, I mean, that is just under $500 million. So it's quite sizable when you think about it in that perspective. And in terms of the citrus, the challenge about today is the fact that we get these tariffs, but South Africa is also heading towards an export period for the citrus industry. And certainly if you're thinking about the provinces such as the Western Cape, parts of the Eastern Cape, we worried a lot about the producers on that. And we don't know at this point, as I record this monologue on the 5th of April, it is not clear to me this morning as to whether the citrus industry will face 31% or they will get somewhere in the range of between 10 and 15 and 30, depending as to what negotiations South Africa will have with the Americans. But there's heightened uncertainty as to what will happen. I haven't seen at this point any detailed list as to what tariff level is applied on what product. And that is causing all of this uncertainty that we are seeing across when we are reading and talking to a number of people. So the message that we've been receiving out of the South African authorities is that, look, they will engage with the U.S. constructively. And I personally think that's an important thing to do. Retaliation is not a wise thing to do, but rather we have to think about how do we engage with the Americans to get through this hurdle. And I think many countries will pretty much be doing that. But as that engagement is happening, then we will be trying to figure out as to how do we lower the tariffs that so that we don't get most products at that level. It is better to actually be closer to 10%, which everybody else is getting, because at that level, we are at least competitive in the U.S. market. Because remember, the tariffs are paid by the U.S. consumers. But what you don't want is your products to have a higher tariff relative to your competitor, because then your competitor's products will still be more affordable relative to yours in the U.S. market. So that's something that I think we will have to be thinking about on that in the next few days and weeks, on how we engage with the U.S. And by we, I mean South Africa, then, that led, of course, by the Department of Trade and Industry, DERCO, that's as well as the Department of Agriculture involved in that, amongst others. But I think beyond that, we have to think about the medium term and the long term strategy. And the medium term and the long term strategy lies on something that I've been writing about for a long time. I think many people, if they read my second book called A Country of Two Agricultures, I mean, I spend almost half of that book talking about how to diversify trade. Thinking about Africa, thinking about new markets in the Middle East, thinking about Asia. And I think that's very important, not only for agriculture, but for other commodities and the other products, where there is appetite to say, look, is there a way at which we can diversify? And I think in agriculture, the Middle East is an area that is very important that we have to look at with seriousness. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE, and the others, to say, how do we increase South African agricultural products in those markets? Because the demand is certainly there. I mean, think about it. The UAE spends almost $22 billion importing agricultural products from the world, and you see Qatar spending about $4 billion importing agricultural product from the world. Saudi Arabia is around about $25 billion that they spend annually importing agricultural products. And in all of those markets, if you look at where South Africa is, we are roughly 1%, 2% or so market share in those markets. So we do have to push the market share, especially for red meat and fruit and grains in those markets. As we are doing that, Asia is also important. I mean, China is the biggest agriculture importer in the world. They account for about 11% of global agriculture. And I think for our wine, for our fruit, and some of the red meat, China is ought to be very important in our mind, alongside India. And I know that the South African citrus industry has been going to India, talking to people there. And I think we have to figure out a way then of saying, how do we advance trade with those countries? The key hindrance that the South Africans are facing in these markets is the higher import tariffs, as well as a range of phytosanitary barriers. We have been talking about this for over a decade, but I do think now that the colleagues at the Department of Trade and Industry and the others, we have to formulate a pack of saying, what deal can we make with China? What deal can we make with India? It is not sufficient to only just be engaging in endless discussions without actually realistically securing a market in a big way for our products. Because now you have this sector that we all say, okay, agriculture is key for employment and everything, but the South African agricultural sector cannot grow without the export markets. We rely heavily on exports. We are export-oriented. And I think that the U.S., yes, it's hurting certain regions in South Africa, not the entire country. But I think the message is clear here that you have to be as diversified as you can in order to be able to survive in today's world, especially if you have a sector that is dependent on exports as the South African agricultural sector at this moment. And of course, the more we receive more information about what's going on in the U.S., what tariff product applies to what in agriculture, we'll probably put out something. But I think our core focus is really on the citrus, on the wine, on the grapes and nuts. Those are some of the important products that we'll be looking at in the U.S. I thought I should record that monologue just for today so that you get a sense of how we are thinking about these things. As always, thanks for listening to my weekly podcast or somewhat monologue. And thanks to the people that make this possible. That is Richard Humphrey, Sam Kokeli, Nelisiwe Chabalala, and Amanda Marimba. Follow me on socials at Wandile Sihlobo and follow the podcast, Mkokeli Podcast, on socials. Thanks for listening.